I'm Chad Owen, the annuity sales coach. In 2007, I was $150,000 in credit card debt, and now I've written over $155 million in annuity production as a solo producer. I make my own calls, schedule my own appointments, do my own follow-up, and I'm actively in the field just like you. If you've hit a rough patch in your business, you're not alone. I've helped agents overcome and find success on a daily basis, and now many write over $1 million or more each month. Let me help you do the same. Buckle up, it's time to go to school with The Annuity Sales Coach. Hello everyone, this is Chad Owen, The Annuity Sales Coach. Welcome to today's podcast, and today we're going to talk about a really, sour subject for a lot of people. The last podcast I did, I talked about getting business issued, and it's all about following up on business we've sent in. We've sent the transfer form, we're making sure it gets issued. Now, how do we get that through the application process? And a lot of times we've heard this word, it's called suitability. Suitability is one of those words that most agents don't like. And quite honestly, I just don't get it. I don't understand why agents don't like that. Because the way I look at it, suitability exists, honestly, because agents haven't done their job. I mean, that's really what it comes down to. Every time there's something new in the suitability requirements, new suitability forms, it's almost always something that I've seen gone wrong with clients. In other words, someone surrendering a policy and they're doing a replacement and they go, hey, just get the check sent to the client. And then once the client gets the check, then we don't have to say it's a replacement, and then we'll send in the check that way. Well, anybody who is ethical and has integrity and is honest knows that that is still a replacement. That has to be noted. That has to be stated that's a replacement. So on the suitability form, now instead of back in the day when I first got started, my application was 7 pages long. Now some of these applications are 15 to 25 pages long. Why is that? Because we have to keep adding more and more documents stating I have 2 documents that I add on my own that actually is part of Agent Tools under the Academy, the Retirement Realizations Academy. I have 2 documents that have my own that aren't even required by the insurance company that I do. One of them is why I pick the products I do. And I talk about why I pick, there's 4 things on why I pick the products I do. Financial stability, best benefits, best customer service, highest payout or potential income index growth. Highest income or potential index growth. And so those are 4 reasons. But then I have another one because I am not series licensed, basically stating that I have not made any recommendations whatsoever on them buying or selling any sort of variable product, that any decision they make is their decision, that I have not made any recommendations for that. And then on that same sheet, I put if they've accepted or declined any sort of life insurance or if they've accepted or declined any sort of long-term care. Why? Because in the future, I don't want 20 years down the road, that client passing away and the kid goes, hey, this guy met with my parents or my grandparents met with this financial guy 20 years ago, and they didn't talk anything about long-term care or they didn't talk anything about life insurance. I'll pull out that form and go, yeah, we actually did. And they declined it. So that way we cover our bases. But the main reason we have suitability, the number one, because I've talked to a lot of suitability departments, as you can imagine, you know, I've written over 175 million in annuities since 2008. And so I have a lot of direct interaction with these insurance companies. I speak to the actuarials, I speak to vice presidents, I speak to presidents, I speak to the actual suitability departments. I even get involved in a lot of product design and product development. I have insurance companies that consistently reach out to me saying, hey, we're thinking of building a product. What do you think the important parts in a product? What do you think there are the important things to cover? What would make us more competitive? And so I just get to give my opinion and my feedback on that. But a lot of times they'll get, like, let's say the suitability department comes out with a new rule or a new form. And sometimes these are changing 3, 4, 5 times in a year you'll get a brand new suitability form and you have to change it out because I always print out all my applications. I always have 10 to 15 applications. I usually have 5 in my briefcase and I have 5 in a box inside of my truck. And then I have 5 back in the office to where I can get to them if I need to really quick. But I always make sure I'm full of applications. Well, every time we have a change in the suitability department or they require a new form and somewhere else, I have to go back and I have my staff switch out those forms into a, basically have to rip the packets apart and put the new one back on. So it becomes a pain, but I'm like, I understand why they have to do that. And like I said, I'm going to hit it. This is the third time I'm going to be saying this. Suitability exists because agents in the past did not do their job, or they were unethical, or they had no integrity. So that's why it exists. I welcome suitability. I think it's a very critical part to our business. I think it holds a lot of agents accountable. I mean, and it's so easy sometimes for people to try and get by with something. Once again, I can't tell you how many times I met with a client where they surrendered an annuity or surrendered a life insurance policy just to find out that there was a check sent to the client. And then they wrote a check to the new insurance company and I see the application and it checks, not a replacement. And that is so wrong. That is just unbelievably wrong. And so make sure if you're replacing something, you put it on there. But how do you make sure you don't have issues with the suitability department? How do you get your applications past suitability? And it's really simple. Call suitability if you have any questions. Obviously, each insurance company has a suitability section on their website, or I say most do. Read through everything specifically. They have all the guidelines on there. For example, the approximate amount you should put into an annuity is about 60%. The rest is supposed to be in other funds. Now, I've gotten up to 80% into an annuity. How did I do that? Even one was 85% of their money was into annuity. But how did that happen? They had huge pensions with very few expenses. Their income was far more than what they needed. And then they had tons of liquid cash. So these are generally very high net worth clients that have tons of money sitting out there. And so if we have someone who has $2 million and we leave $400,000 out in liquid funds, plus they have more than enough income, well, of course, that's going to be a suitable product because they have more than enough money in liquid funds. Usually they don't have any debt whatsoever and surplus in income. That's how you get the, but how does the suitability department ever know that? You have to have a letter because they'll look at the net worth and how much you're putting to the annuity and they'll say that this is more than 60% reject. But if you do a full explanation of what the client's current circumstances are, I mean, in detail, this is how much income they make. This is what their expenses are. They have no debt. This is how much they have in reserves. This is how much we're putting into the annuity. This is what the purpose of the annuity is. Go figure. You gotta let suitability know what the client's purpose of the money is. It has to meet the need. So if you just say, hey, we just put $200,000 into an annuity and they have $250,000 in total funds, they're gonna go, no, that's not enough in emergency funds and savings. But if you're very specific on this is what the purpose of the money is, now that's not a great example because $50,000 emergency funds and using $200,000 annuity, that's not a good ratio. But if you have someone that has $2 million and you leave $400,000 in emergency funds and $1.6 million in the annuity, that's a different scenario. As long as, like I said, and I'm going to balance it out always, they have to have little to no debt, major surplus in income, and they have to have purpose. That's how, and this is ever since I've done this, I remember back when I was in mortgage protection insurance, I never got applications rejected. There's been one time in 15 years that an application of mine didn't get past suitability. And what happened there, it was an old product back in the day, and we didn't know about this, but it had this crazy high annuitization value. It had a very low account value, and it had no income account value, just had a high annuitization value. Well, the clients never knew that. They thought they were just in a straight annuity that was an indexed annuity, and they weren't even planning on taking income. They had no reason whatsoever for income. Well, the caps had gotten so low, the participation rates have gotten so low that they're like, hey, there's better products out there. So I went to move it, and then all of a sudden we find out that the annuitization value is twice the amount of the account value. So, and I remember I called on this. I called the insurance company. Nobody told me anything about that. And I was like, you know what? We need to have a copy of the statement. Now, here's a very good rule. Not all insurance companies require this, but I always do this anyway. I always get a copy of the statement, whatever it is, and I always send it in with the application. The statement will show the account value, the surrender value, the date the annuity was purchased, the initial premium. If there's any sort of guarantees, it will all show on that actual statement, and I always send that in. That helps suitability department go, hey, we don't even have to guess. Now, remember, if you've been a part of my academy, you know I also have knowing your annuity, knowing your variable annuity, and I actually have a form where we call with the client and we find out what the fees are. We find out what the account value, the surrender value is, if there's a death benefit, if there's an annuitization value, what the roll-up rate is, what the payout percentage is, does it offer single or joint lifetime payout? And then, of course, the mortality and expense fee, the rider fee, the fund fee. I mean, we go into all that. So not only do I include that, I include the statement. So then suitability once again goes, man, this agent is really thorough at what they're doing. They're really documenting everything. They're making, because insurance companies are responsible for their suitability departments, and they can be put in a huge financial bind and fines and get in big trouble if they put clients' money into something that's not good for them. The insurance companies are liable for this. So I totally understand. So when we go over, above, and beyond what they need, they are greatly appreciative of this, so much so is where if there's ever an issue where it was a close case, in other words, they're like going, man, this is a little bit out of our parameters, but Chad, it's you, and we know you do a thorough job, and we know you ask all the questions, and you have letters of explanations. So yeah, we're going to go in and let this one go, and we're going to let it pass through, because everything is documented. So suitability, in my opinion, never has and never will be a bad word to me. It's just not. It's a part of the company that does the background check or the back work to make sure agents are doing their job. And like I said, every law, every rule, for the most part, that's ever been created is because someone messed up. Someone did something wrong. And so they had to have these rules to make sure this doesn't happen again. And that's why it's just not a big deal to me. But if we do our due diligence as an agent and we are truly acting in the best interest, this is why the DOL rule just drove me nuts, because they're like, are you acting in the best interest of the client? We need to get involved in. We need to say whether you are or you're not. I'm like, every insurance company has their own suitability department that we're vetted on for every policy we ever, or every application we ever submit. We have something far greater than a best interest clause. We not only have to have and act in the best interests of the client, we also have someone who scrubs application and makes sure we are. And I love that, because it wasn't ever somebody would say, well, are you part of the best interest act? Yeah, we're far beyond that. We have a suitability department that checks everything, make sure we're doing the right thing. Now, here's where the challenge does come in. The suitability form is only as good as the agent that's filling it out. So if some agent is falsifying something on the suitability form or not telling the whole story, or trying to get by and get something, pull a quick one. Here's what I've learned in this industry. Anytime you have a crooked agent or someone who's been unethical or someone who's trying to get things by, every single time that comes back to bite them, every single time without fail. I see it in the news. I see it on TV, whatever. I always see them get caught. And rightfully so. When you're taking someone's retirement money that they've spent years trying to save up, and then you're trying to get something through that shouldn't be going through, or it's not the right fit for the client, absolutely get caught, throw the book at them. And that's just how I feel about it. I always have. There is no gray in our world. It's black or white. The rules are the rules. And as long as you follow them, this is why for 15 plus years, I've never had a complaint in any Better Business Bureau or any insurance commissioner, because I'm so picky on how I fill out my applications. So suitability is not a bad thing. Just make sure you go onto the websites of the insurance companies. You find out the rules. If you need to, pick up the phone, talk to the suitability department if you can, not all you can, but if you can, and just ask them, hey, I'm new to the business. What are you looking for in suitability? Or, hey, I've been doing this for a while. This is kind of a tough case. Can I get your help on this? And every single time they're willing to help. So I hope this helps you guys. You have a great day. Happy selling. Thanks for tuning in. If you've enjoyed this podcast, be sure to check out Retirement Realize Agents Academy. Visit our website at raragentsacademy.com and enroll in our coaching program today. We've helped agents double and triple their business through the systems and strategies we have in place. As a member, you have access to countless documents, webinars, independent courses, and one-on-one coaching time with me so we can diagnose your business and come up with a plan to get you closing more sales and helping more clients. Be sure to subscribe to my podcast and follow me on LinkedIn at Chad Owen. Subscribe to my YouTube channel, The Annuity Sales Coach. Like, comment, and ring the bell for more free training, and follow me on Facebook at Retirement Realize Agents Academy. This podcast is sponsored by Aegis Financial at 800-579-7923 and Annuity Agents Alliance at 888-742-4368.